For the text of our message, let us turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 to 48. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that he resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his sacred word. The title of my message today is Three More Twisted Sayings of the Jews Refuted by Our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, if we can read from verse 33 to verse 37. Again, you have heard that it had been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. Restated briefly, the Jews say, pay what you swear. But Jesus says, swear not, but rather speak the truth, yes or no, clearly. The scribes and Pharisees, so far, we have already seen four of the twisted sayings. For example, they say, thou shalt not commit adultery. The idea is, don't get caught. But Jesus says, you do not know that adultery is not only the act, but it includes also the eye. If you look at a woman to lust after her, you have already committed adultery. And so I've got four of the twisted sayings refuted and corrected by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a fifth corrupted, twisted saying, that you must pay your vows, your oaths, and in order to make light of it, they don't swear by God Himself, they swear by heaven, God's throne, and by earth, God's stool, and by Jerusalem, the great city, and they also swear by the head. And Jesus says all these are very frivolous and deceptive oaths, while they also take the name of the Lord in vain. By so swearing, they break the third commandment. And so Jesus says, the important thing is that you tell the truth. Let us also be very truthful people. Christian must be able to say yes or no in very clear terms. But they confuse. And there is one example of the frivolous oaths and the bad intentions. According to Matthew chapter 15, there is quoted, honor your father and your mother. And in honoring our parents, it is included, but the original interpretation, that we should support them in their old age. But then they can promise to support their parents and get out of it by a very clever trick. Oh, I have given this to God. This portion I have already vowed to give to God. So by way of example, if the Jewish couple is supporting their parents, $500 a month. And suddenly they say, but we have also given $200 to God. That is a building fund drive, and we have to support it. In that way, they are free. When they utter the word korban, korban means it is promised to God. But in this way, they rob their parents to give to God, and God knows. By giving the $200 to the church, they minus this sum from the parents. So Jesus asks, when they do this, do you think that God is happy? By not doing their proper duty. So that is very important. When they have said yes, we must be yes. We don't change our tune. And so a Christian should be very, very straightforward and frank. And when people ask us, we can give a very decisive answer. It's either yes or no. And not half yes or half no. Like as our Lord has said, yeah. But let the conversation be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. So may I also give you a very good instruction in the matter of facing officials or doing public acts, and when the judge or the magistrate or the land office officer asks us a question, we may be able to say yes or no. But when we say yes, and you stammer, you speak with a slur, that shows that there is something wrong in you. At once, you will be found out. So, I teach my students, when they go to the immigration, tell the truth. I know of one member of our church who was applying to go to the United States, and she had siblings in the States. And when they asked her, do you have any brother or sister there? She stammered. She was caught. So she has refused the visa to go to the United States. It is therefore important not only that we do not forswear ourselves, but in all our dealings we must be very honest and speak in such a way that people will trust us. Before the judge, if you stammer or speak with a slur, you will be found out straight away. Now, the second twisted saying of the Jews here, you have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man shall sue you at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. For whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ to correct the second twisted Jewish saying. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So I can take revenge. I will be quite just. If he punch me once, I'll punch him back also once. When you take revenge, then you take full revenge. Tit for tat. When Moses gave this law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, was he describing a formula for taking revenge? Not at all, because the word also says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's the Lord who will take the proper action to punish those that have hurt you according to a law of adequate return. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the Jews make it to be a way for you to take full revenge, which is entirely not the case. It is to limit public justice that no hurt is inflicted more than what has been done. And so, instead of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and they say, we can take full revenge, but Jesus says, not revenge, but rather give way. And so, he prescribes that instead of your taking revenge, as a private citizen, you suffer. And that's a Christian way. So if they hit you on the right cheek, you don't take revenge, but rather turn the left cheek for him. Well, this is very hard. And yet, this is the teaching of the Lord. And then if they seal you at law and take your cloak, you let them take the cloak also. And if somebody will take advantage of you and make you to go with him here and there, taking your time, never mind. Be so large-hearted to go with him the second mile. And that is the attitude of our Lord, which means that you rather forgive. I still remember one very happy Christmas Eve, and we went caroling. It was in the year 1955, I remember, when I got a new Volkswagen Beetle, and I treasured it very much. Brand new on the road. And as we parked it by the roadside, somebody came in and bashed it from the back. And I was very angry. All right, let us go to the police station. And we are caroling and having a good time. Upon reflection, said, all right, Sudana, let you go. I'll take care of it. And then my heart became very lightened. Instead of taking revenge, rather forgive. For our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us, when you pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. In other words, you must first be willing to forgive. And so he extended the teaching, and that not only you forgive, but you give. Giving is a practical expression of forgiveness. Some people say, I forgive, but I cannot forget. I think that is not Christian enough. You forgive, you forget, and you even go to the extent of giving. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. And instead of his borrowing, you rather don't come him a borrower and you are a lender, but just give it outright. The reason being that Christians are much better off than non-Christians. And if a non-Christian offend us, and we are Christian, it is not only a bounden duty, but it is also an honor to forgive and to give. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. Especially, we realize that all that we have has come from God. But it is God who has given you the power to get wealth. So if somebody needs a little of what you have plenty, don't be stingy, but give it right away to help. And don't say like James, questioning his hearers, oh, I'll pray for you. Go in peace and come tomorrow when it is in the power of your hand to do it. And so, in all our church work, we must put this into practice. There are always poor people who come here and then examine them. Well, who you are? He said, I'm a Roman Catholic. I said, then is the Roman Catholic Church and the priest there to take care of you since you belong to that church? And his reply is, what's the use? They give me only 10 cents. Now, at this rate, $1 will not buy much. They give me 10 cents. But we have adopted a policy to give them at least one adequate meal, $2 or $3. And when you have food, invite them to eat a meal here at a college kitchen. But I would like to give you a testimony of the Ministry of Hospitality of our Bueller House. We are always on the end of giving to others. And this includes giving to outsiders, mostly from China and from the ASEAN countries. If we have got empty rooms, we take them in. And some people may ask me a question, what is your biblical support for that? Well, I quote Psalm 84. Sparrows and swallows have found a nest, have found a place in your sanctuary. Sparrows and swallows are unclean birds. They are not those that are used for sacrifice. They are outsiders, and yet we take care of them. Of course, having examined them properly. One thing is, we must not take in illegal occupants, or else when it happens, I go to jail, not you. Be careful. But then the whole thing is that this has reaped a lot of good. Over 10 of these from China who have stayed here and have found the grace and the mercies that we have shown them, they automatically. And I never say, oh, if you come here, you must attend church. I leave it to them. If you like, it's a very spontaneous reaction. Well and good. And I can testify to you that through all these years, we have converted over 10 of them, and I've baptized several of them at least. But then we have another case. This is a bad case. Someone who comes in with a very sad story, and he was even carrying his belongings in a pack, and he said that I have no place to go tonight. So I gave him a little room, not the best room, but one of the very small rooms. But then he stayed for 1.5 years, refusing to move. Well, since you could not evict him, we could call the police. But after much meditation, and he's very elusive, the police might come, but he might not be here. So one day I said to him, I will give you a parting gift of $500 to help you on your way. He happily accepted it, and there was no commotion and no tension, which gives our church a very good name in this whole community, so that those who are in difficulty and they need succor are often referred to this church, including 3 Chinese Korean ladies marooned by the travel agent here, and they overstayed and was arrested by the police. And we took care of them to send them back to Peking. This is something very unusual, and something you might say, like that you are causing the church to lose money. But the Lord says, instead of taking revenge, you forgive. And you not only forgive, you give. Now, some of you may say, of course, you can spend that. It's not your money, it's your church money. But I love the church and I conserve every cent. But when we consider that in the long run, it will fulfill what the Lord has taught us, that will be good. So don't say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, is a law for me to take my private revenge. It is not for private revenge. But it's a law to limit in executing public justice that we do not retaliate more than the hurt that has been caused. the compensation that the evildoer has done must be given in equal terms, like a balance, 50-50. You know that at the Supreme Court you have justice holding a balance. And the balance is straight. If a judgment is given 51 and 49, it will not be perfect. It must be 50-50. Alright, that is the second teaching. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is not for us to take private revenge and hit blow for blow. Now we come to the third erroneous teaching of the Jews in the twisting. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. That is what is reflected especially in the Old Testament. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. If ye love them which love you, what reward have you? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Are you not like the sinners, the publicans? Here, the Jews misread the Old Testament, and they say that you hate your enemies but love your neighbor. But Jesus not only says that you should love not only your neighbor but your enemy, not only your friend but your foe. And Jesus himself practiced it, dying on the cross, crucified for us. And those who have done him and given him the pain, even the soldiers, he prayed to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They are Jesus' enemies, and yet he forgave them. So the Jews who say that in the Old Testament you can hate your enemy, but in the New Testament you love your enemy. Or rather, you hate your enemy, but you love your friends. Jesus corrects them. You must also love your enemy if you are to be a child of God. There is a class of theologians called dispensational theologians. And they more or less follow this wrong saying of the Jews. And they say, yes, in the Old Testament it is not so much of grace and you take revenge on your enemy, but in the New Testament you will love them according to the teaching of Jesus. But that is only one-sided. Therefore, it is a wrong teaching of the dispensationalists to say that in the Old Testament you hate your enemies. But the Old Testament teaching is still the same. Only the New Testament stresses more. But the Old Testament does not contradict the New Testament. So here we have a very wonderful story to prove the point. It is a story of Elisha the prophet, who delivered Israel from many years of war by loving their enemy. The Syrians were attacking and they were winning, but God delivered them through Elisha, who pronounce a judgment on them that they all be blinded, so they could not see. And the people led the Syrian troops to come into Samaria, which is the capital of Israel. So when they came in, they were all blinded, and then the Lord opened their eyes. And lo and behold, we are now surrounded and trapped by Israel in Samaria. Then the king asked the prophet Elisha, "Shall we execute these who are our prisoners?" Elisha quoted an international law. "You don't kill anyone you have taken prisoner. Now that is against law. But let me tell you, not only you don't touch them, but give them a good feast." And all the Syrians had a nice feast. And the king of Israel let them all go back to Syria. And the sequel of this story is that the Syrians were so overwhelmed by the love of Israel for them, so overwhelmed by the grace, that for many, many years, they did not come back to fight Israel. We have a modern version of showing love to our enemy. And this comes from Mr. Chung, the Tauke of Hyundai. They pronounce it, we say Hyundai, they call it Hyundai Motors, shipping company, and all the rest. And he led 1,000 fatted brown cows across the border. This happened 1 or 2 years ago. And he presented them to the North Korean president. And that started the mending of the fence, so much so that in the present Olympics, North Korea and South Korea united as one unit in the sports. Well, this is surely good news for the world, because the Korean scene is a very hot spot that if you do not watch carefully, and if any accidental act should happen, the Third World War will erupt from there. Of course, it has many other places, but Korea is a very touchy place. Is God happy with Mr. Chung, the Tauke of Hyundai, to send 1,000 fatted cows to the Northern Korean president? Of course, God is happy, because He teaches that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. Particularly, we have been instructed not to take revenge and to forgive our enemies. And so in many mission fields, in many countries where there is much bloodshed and war, and the Christians suffer, the Christian church has never taken revenge. As for the fighting in Ambon and Maluku and all that between Christians and Muslims, you must not regard them ecclesiastically, but these are all political elements. There is not much of the church in this Christianity. But this happened in China in 1900, and it was known as the Boxer Rebellion, when the Manchu Kung Fu pugilists taught their followers that no bullet could enter the body, so they were determined to kill the foreigners. And there were 8 foreign countries that had a hold on China. But instead of killing the foreigners, they were killed. And so Manchuria lost heavily. And after the settlement, they had to repay very heavily for what they had done. Insofar as the church was concerned, about 185 missionaries were executed. But they did not make any noise, nor demand any reparations. But this is the way how God's work must go on and how we win out in the end. As a famous saying of the church father Tertullian, the blood of martyrs is a seed of the church. And it was after this Boxer Rebellion that the revival came to China, and one of them to lead in this revival was Reverend Ding Li Mei, the first revivalist of China. He was no lesser than John Sung, because after the Boxer Rebellion, the revival that came gave him a name, the evangelist with 1,000 souls a month. So think of that. A servant of the Lord winning 1,000 souls for him through the blood of martyrs. So these are the three corrections that the Lord has made on the twisted sayings that, and in this third saying is that we must not hate our enemies, but rather love them. Leads us to a much higher plane of life, to the heavenlies. And it is required of us, every Christian here, to practice this. Or else how can they know what's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? So Jesus tells us that we must seek to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Instead of revenge and retaliation, we forgive and give. Instead of forswearing and not keeping to the oath and cheating, we should say yes or no. Be very truthful. And instead of an eye for an eye, to take full revenge, which is a public law and not a private one, we should be very willing to go the second mile. It is very hard for me, even as a pastor, to do the requirements of this passage. But it is required of us that we must try to live a life according to Jesus' teaching, that we may be seen differently. That when people see us, they can say, oh, I know he's a Christian. Now, how do you know? By your demeanor, by your way of life, by your sayings and so forth. And instead of saying loving words and kind words, there are Christians and leaders too who criticize others and have no grace in the speech at all, not to say in the attitude. So may the Lord help us today to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for the correct teachings of our Lord and Savior. And it is much higher than the ordinary plane of life, which is on the humblest. And we poor creatures on earth, many times, even as Christians, we do not live up to your demands. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have failed, and grant us the determination to do good in every way possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.